The Old Testament reading for this Maundy Thursday comes from the prophet Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, beginning at the 31st verse. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ entered once for all into the holy places by means of his own blood,
thus securing eternal redemption.
Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant,
so that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance.
He sent redemption to his people. The epistle reading comes from the letter to the Hebrews, the 10th chapter. The Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord. We rise for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel comes to us according to St. Luke, the 22nd chapter. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it. They said to him, Where will you have us prepare it? He said to them, Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, The teacher says to you, Where is the guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there. And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, Take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight, we celebrate Maundy Thursday. But of course, celebrate isn't exactly the right word. Tonight is a service of many different emotions. The joy of receiving the Lord's Supper, the sorrow of seeing our Lord betrayed. Our service ends in a stark contrast to the joy that it began with, as Psalm 22 is chanted, and the congregation leaves in silence after the altar is stripped, representing how Jesus was abandoned by his disciples. Our celebration is tempered by the knowledge of what happened after the meal in the upper room. We know that soon after, Jesus prayed so earnestly about his upcoming crucifixion that he sweat blood. We know that his disciples couldn't be bothered to stay awake with him in his hour of need. We know that Judas, one of his beloved friends, would soon come to Gethsemane to betray Jesus and turn him over to the soldiers, and that the authorities would unjustly sentence and mock Jesus. And we know that all of this leads to the cross, the extreme, unthinkable suffering of Jesus Christ at the hands of those he came to save. We know that all of this is about to happen. And so did Jesus. But even knowing all that, even knowing that he was about to endure unimaginable heartache and pain and even death, his thoughts are for his disciples and for us. Before his crucifixion, he meets with the disciples in the upper room and gives them a gift unlike any other. It is an eternal gift that is given to all believers still today, and it is just as powerful, sacred, and precious today as it was then. It can be called many different things: the Lord's Supper, the sacrament of the altar, the Eucharist, the Mass, Holy Communion. Its power comes not from the kind of bread or wine used, not from the pastor, not from the one receiving it, but from the words spoken by Jesus when he instituted it at that Passover meal in the upper room. "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." And in those words, we see what it is that Jesus truly gives us in this blessed sacrament. In the Lord's Supper, Jesus introduces the new covenant. Now, when we talk about the new covenant, that implies that there is an old covenant as well. And the old covenant is the law, God's commandments, his statutes, the things that he has told his people throughout the ages that are good and right and wrong and evil. Now, make no mistake, the law was good, and the law still is good. A lot of people think that the law of God was this terrible burden and just something that nobody could ever possibly live with, or that it's something that now we can totally ignore since Jesus has come, and the law doesn't matter, we don't even need the Old Testament. No, the law of God is good and wise, and still today, living by that law has great benefits in our lives. We are spared so much heartache and sorrow, the things that sin wants to drag into our lives and drag us down with, when we say no to those things and abide by God's statutes that are there for our good, our lives are noticeably better. As we live by God's law, our faith is strengthened and protected, as we are not tempted by all of the idols and the wicked things that this world has to offer, as we don't let them flood us and push Jesus out of the center of our lives. The law is good, for as we live by it, we give a Christian witness with our lives to those around us, proclaiming to the world that there is something better than the wicked ways of this world, that there is a way that does lead to life rather than death, and that there are great benefits and joys of living by those laws. The old covenant, the law, was good, and it still is good, but it was insufficient. If we kept that law perfectly, if we lived exactly by every statute, every statement, every commandment, by God's covenant, we would indeed earn heaven. That's what the covenant was. It was a legal and binding agreement where God said, "Do this and you will receive this." Just like any other legal statement that you enter into, the two parties agree on the terms. And the agreement was, "We will obey your law, O Lord." The problem is, that's impossible, because the law demands perfection. If we break even one part of it, one tiny little bit, we have broken the entire thing. And the whole thing legally could be considered null and void. And God has no obligation to keep His end because we certainly haven't kept ours. We are by nature sinful and unclean, unable to live the perfect life that the old covenant demanded. We break that old covenant constantly in thought, word, and deed, by what we do and by what we leave undone. We are unable to live according to God's perfect law. We are unable to do it well enough to get into the paradise that He desires for us. And so the old covenant is good, but we needed something more. And so Jesus gave us just that. He gave to us the new covenant. Now, God didn't change the rules, saying that, well, Old Testament believers, they were saved by the law. But if you were lucky enough to be born after Jesus, well, then you're saved by the gospel, and that's way easier. No, all salvation comes by faith in Jesus alone. Either looking forward to when God's new covenant would be fulfilled for those who were born before the time of Jesus, or for us, looking back to the cross and empty tomb and recognizing that fulfillment in Jesus Christ alone. You see, there was no salvation by the old covenant. And it's not that God made some mistake and didn't realize that we weren't going to be able to keep the old covenant, because God doesn't make mistakes. He didn't set up the law and then was shocked when, my goodness, these people are terrible at following these rules. No. He had foretold the new covenant long before Jesus came. It was no surprise to Him because He knows our sin. He knows us better than we know ourselves. In our Old Testament reading tonight, the prophet Jeremiah describes the new covenant some 600 years before Jesus was even born. He says, "It is not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke." The old covenant was rigid. It was the law. It had to be fulfilled perfectly on both sides. But the new covenant is different. The new covenant is very one-sided, leaving us sinners no room to break it and make it invalid. It is a covenant that says God gives everything and sinners receive everything. It is a covenant that says though we deserve to die because of our sin, God will instead die on our behalf to spare us. It is a covenant of sacrificial love, of grace, of God giving up everything, and we who have nothing to give in return, simply receiving His forgiveness and His mercy. It is a covenant where we win, because God gives everything. In the Old Testament, covenants were often sealed by blood, and God's covenant of the law was no exception. The sacrifices at the temple, they were done in accord with the covenant. An animal was killed, blood was spilt on behalf of one party of the covenant. It showed the seriousness of the agreement, that it was truly a matter of life and death. It was a public proclamation saying, "May this happen to me as well if I break my word." Covenants were sealed in blood, and so is the new covenant given to us by Jesus. And here in this supper, we receive that blood. Not the blood of animals, not our blood, not the blood even of angels, but the blood of God Himself. Here in this supper, in the new covenant, we receive the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Throughout the Old Testament, the ones who were giving the sacrifice would often eat the meat of the sacrifice, showing their connection to it, showing that it stood in their place and paid their penalty on their behalf. We do the same. We too partake of the sacrifice of Jesus as He gives us His true body and blood here in this blessed meal. This is no mere remembrance or reenactment of what Jesus did. This is not us looking back and saying, wasn't it great when Jesus did all these things? Wouldn't it be great if we could do that too? No. Here at this table, by the power of Jesus' own word, we eat the very flesh of Jesus that instituted this meal. The flesh that was betrayed in the garden. The flesh that was nailed to the cross. Here we drink of the actual blood of Jesus that poured out of him when he was scourged, crucified, speared in the side. We eat and drink of the body and blood of Jesus Christ, truly, taking part in his sacrifice, reinforcing our connection to him, proclaiming that he alone can stand in our place and spare us from the wrath of God that we deserve. Now that's something that doesn't make sense to our human reason. How could this possibly be the body and blood of Jesus Christ? How could Jesus, who has ascended into heaven, be here in Loudoun, Iowa, giving of his body and blood? How could this possibly be? That's something that's actually offensive and even repulsive to us. As we gather together and people say, "You eat flesh and blood? Ew!" And we ourselves fall into that trap and say, that is kind of gross when you think about it. It's something that we can't really even understand or explain to people. But just because we don't get it doesn't mean that it's not so. And just because we don't get it doesn't mean that we get to change what it is. Jesus says, "This is my body. This is my blood." And so it is. His word has power that ours doesn't. And our lack of understanding or agreement, it doesn't change that one bit. That's why we take communion so seriously. That's why we as Lutherans hold the sacrament in such high esteem and treat it with such care and concern. That's why we catechize our youth for years before they partake. Why we actually take care as to where we commune and who communes with us. I mean, it is so, so very clear in Scripture what the sacrament is. But so many Christians deny that communion is the true body and blood of Jesus. It's unfortunate that so many Christians truly don't understand what communion is and why Jesus gave it. Human rationalism and wisdom, reinterpretation of the Bible, and simple unbelief in God's Word have led so many Christians to redefine and change the Lord's Supper. To say that it's just a remembrance, that it's just something that we do, it's a fun way to reenact what Jesus did, but it really doesn't do anything for you. And they do so to their great harm. The Bible tells us that to eat or drink of this supper without recognizing the body and blood of Jesus is to eat and drink condemnation upon ourselves. Our Missouri Synod policy of closed communion, not taking communion at other church bodies, not giving communion to people outside of ours, it is a policy that is grossly misunderstood. It is often spoken badly of, and it is even ignored by certain congregations within the Missouri Synod. But our policy is a policy of love. Knowing what the Lord's Supper really is, knowing how powerful it is, knowing that taken wrongly, it is a profaning of Jesus Christ himself, we take it very seriously. And we do not encourage people to eat and drink condemnation upon themselves. But when we receive that body and blood of Jesus in true faith, with repentant hearts, trusting in his word as he gave it to us, we become participants in the new covenant. Not a covenant that requires us to give the same amount that God has given, because we could never even come close to giving that. But as God says through Jeremiah, "I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Because in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his blood poured out for the new covenant, our transgressions are washed away completely. We sinners, who couldn't even come close to keeping the old covenant, who deserve only eternal punishment, condemnation, and death, we are given forgiveness, life, and salvation through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. Here at this altar, we eat and drink of His true body and blood, receiving His precious gifts, becoming partakers of that sacrifice on our behalf. We're not just looking back and saying, "Remember when Jesus did this for me?" We are here tonight, and every time we come to this table, we eat the very body of Jesus that died and rose again for us. We drink the very blood that poured from His veins and cleanses us of our sin. We cannot understand it fully. We may even be a little bit grossed out by it. But that does not change anything. It does nothing to change the blessed, gracious truth of what Jesus truly gives us in the Lord's Supper. In, with, and under the bread and wine, we receive by our mouths the body and blood of Jesus Christ, given and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. We become intimately united with His sacrifice, partakers of His new covenant of grace, sacrifice, and peace. Here at this table, we receive the greatest gift of all, the true body and blood of Jesus that He sacrificed for us, the body and blood of Jesus that He delivers to us, the body and blood of Jesus that we will see with our own eyes in that perfect paradise of heaven that He has won for us. By grace, we are made part of the new covenant, the greater covenant, the covenant of mercy, where Almighty God gives everything, and we sinners receive the eternal benefits. For by the cross and sacrifice of Jesus Christ alone, by His empty tomb alone, you are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. To God alone be all glory, now and forever. Amen.